Hello, I hope you're having a wonderful day today. I am sharing today on biblical womanhood and the home. And this is going to be a series that I'm going to probably be focusing on all year long. Last summer, I did a series on the role of a biblical wife, and I didn't get very far into the series because life became very full. We started going out of town a lot. I just never got back into it. But I made three videos last summer. The first was about being a submissive wife. The second was obeying God, not fearing man. And the third was being our husband's helper. Helping my husband is my career. And then it dropped off. So I want to bring that back around. But instead of just focusing on the role of a biblical wife, I think it is a much bigger picture because we are obviously in a culture war. It doesn't take two brain cells to see that our current popular culture hates biblical living. And of course, what is that rooted in? It's rooted in the enemy. The enemy hates when God's people live according to his ways. So if Satan can come in and say, "Did God really say?" and get you to live completely counter to God's ways that are spelled out in the Bible, he doesn't have to do anything because you're destroying your own life by not living a life of obedience to God's ways because God's ways are good. If you ever are in a place where you're like, "What is the point? What? Why am I here on earth? What am I doing with my life?" then we can go right to the words of Jesus, of what Jesus says in Matthew, to love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So then, what does it look like to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul? That looks like obeying him. Because we love him, we want to obey him. And how do we obey him? We look at what the word says. God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. What an amazing scripture that is, Psalm 119. If we actually took that seriously, again, if you don't know what to do with your life, get into God's word. And what does God's word say about women? It says older women to teach the younger women to love your husband, love your children, to be self-controlled or discreet, some versions say, to be pure or chaste, kind, keepers of the home, and submissive to your own husband or their own husband, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So the word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. What does the word say? It says older women to teach the younger women to do these things, which means these are the things that we are meant to do. And if we look at our popular culture right now, those things that are in Titus 2 are attacked so much. If you look at the breakdown of our world right now, you can see it's rooted in lack of women being women. Women have tried so hard to be men that they've forsaken the design, the role that God has given them, and the home has been forsaken for work outside of the home. And that's why I talk so much about the home as an economy, because everyone wants to think all of life happens outside of the home, and that's just not the case. Home, Scott always says, is the forward operating base of heaven. Everything starts at home. And so I am going to go through Titus 2. This is going to be more of an umbrella video. And then from this video, I'm going to go into specific topics. Hopefully, they'll be very practical, but I just want it to be very encouraging and exciting because I think sometimes you get so in the weeds of life that you almost forget the why. And when you remember your why, it gives you this like spunk of, "I love what I do. This is what I get to do." And so that's my hope, is to encourage you, to give you courage in your role, because you're not going to get it from the world. In fact, the world, if you're around it or in it too much, there is always this subtle brainwashing happening, even in Christian circles, this subtle brainwashing of, "You're not doing enough. You should be out working a job. You're lazy if you're home." All of these subtle ways that the world, popular culture, tries to get women out of the role that God has for them. So to do any of the things in Titus 2 is going to look very countercultural. Starting with marriage. Young people aren't even getting married. If you look at the statistics, I mean, you don't even have to look at statistics. You could just look at people you know in real life. People are getting married later and later and later. And a lot of women are being encouraged to put marriage off as late as possible, which has led us to an entire pandemic of women in their 30s who desperately want to be married, but it is not happening for them, and they don't know why it's not happening for them. But we've fed girls this lie that marriage will come, don't worry about it, go to university, go focus on your career, go learn how to be an individual so you don't have to rely on anyone, learn how to provide for yourself, learn how to protect yourself, you don't need a man. A man actually needs you, you're looking for a helper. And that is the brainwashing, that is the mindset that is being massaged into girls from young, so they go through their 20s so focused on building themselves and forsaking marriage. Older women teach the younger women to love their husband. How can you love a husband if you're not married? I'll actually tell you how you can love your husband if you're not married. That will be a whole separate video, and that's why I don't want this to be just focusing on the biblical role of wives, because a lot of this can still apply to you while you're single, and you can use your singleness to prepare for all of these things that is talked about in Titus 2. But a lot of the girls that are in their 20s that are just following the natural flow of culture, marriage is the last thing on their mind. It's actually considered to be a distraction. Meanwhile, they're sleeping around doing marriage things, yet they're not married. And again, I think we'll get to that in the to be pure and chaste part of this, but because so many women have been told marriage and children will come, just focus on yourself, and then marriage doesn't end up coming. And this has led so many women so disappointed in their 30s, 40s, because marriage didn't happen for them. But then you get comments. Whenever we talk about the blessing of getting married young, there's always these comments. Actually, I just got one the other day, and the specific comment was, the frontal lobe is not even fully developed until 25. This is always a very fascinating comment that Scott and I get, and we have a laugh to ourselves because we're like, do you use that frame of mind for all other decisions that people younger than 25 are making? Do you ever say, well, if your frontal lobe isn't formed yet, then you probably shouldn't be making hundreds and thousands of dollars of debt decision to go to university for a degree that you may or may not, most likely won't, ever use? I think that's really important. If you're going to talk about your brain not being fully developed, then why are you making the decision to go to university? Or if your brain isn't fully developed, then you probably shouldn't be sleeping around outside of marriage. No one uses those things. They just want to say you shouldn't get married until your brain is fully formed. And then on the other side of that, my mindset is how much better it is. God did not make a mistake when he designed us. If he has designed us to be able to have children before our brain is formed at the age of 25, then maybe it's so that way we can, if you get married at 18, 19, 20, you and your husband can grow together and you become one together and grow in oneness together. I think that that's way easier than to live a very individualistic life. And I did do that. I did not get married until I was 26. And I was used to doing my own thing. And it's a lot harder to spend years doing your own thing and then all of a sudden get married and realize you're no longer two, but you're one. So you need to figure this out. How much more adaptable are you when you're younger than when you're older and set in your ways? And then all of a sudden things become a lot harder for you because you're like, wait, I'm used to doing things my way. And now I'm married to someone else and I don't like the way that they do things. It's a lot harder. So maybe it's a blessing that your brain isn't fully formed yet when you get married, because then you're fully forming your brain and values that are in alignment with your husband together. That's just something to think about. There's a lot more to go into the topic of marriage. Like I said, I'll be doing many videos diving deeper into all of these topics, but the next one is to love your children. And once again, in our culture, children are a burden. Either you're told not to have children because of overpopulation, or the world is going to hell in a handbasket, so why would you want to bring children into the world? Or they're just a burden in your life. So if you're gonna have children, put them off as long as possible and try to live your life now. Do all the things that you wanna do, because once you have kids, they're a ball and chain and you're not gonna be able to do anything that you wanna do. That is the lie of culture. And you may think, well, I don't believe that. Well, then I would ask you, are you delaying having children? Because if you believed that children are a blessing, then you would believe it is good to have children. And I can personally say that I had that mindset of, oh, there's things that we want to do, so let's wait a year before we have kids because we don't have enough money and we want to go back to South Africa, we want to travel, and it's going to be hard to do that with kids. I would take that back in a heartbeat if I knew what I knew now back then. And honestly, Scott and I talk about this all the time. We had never heard anyone say, children are a blessing, don't put off having children. All we had ever heard was, go live your life, enjoy living your life, enjoy your first year of marriage together, children will come. And that hasn't been the case for us. And we're still holding out hope that God will bless us with children. But now I'm like, why would you put off having children? I feel the weight of not having children, so I feel that I can speak on this subject, because when you don't have children, things, you look at life a lot differently than maybe if children came easily for you. And that's my prayer. I don't want anyone to have to go through not being able to have children. It's the worst thing in the whole world. I would never wish it upon my worst enemy. And so I didn't even know that that was a subtle lie that I was believing, was that, well, there's a lot of things that we want to do before we have children, and if we have kids, then we're not going to be able to do those things. Children are a blessing. Don't put them off. Because the world is very subtly telling you otherwise. Or in some cases, it's not so subtle. In other ways, it's like, you don't need kids, go build your career. And then when those women that focused so much of their life on building their career, when they finally are blessed with children, they then resent their kids because they think that their children are taking them away from their true purpose. And I'm saying true purpose in quotes because that is the lie of our culture. Our true purpose is in Titus 2. Love your husband, love your children. When you die, and we all will, nothing else will matter except the lives that you impacted here on earth. And what greater life can you impact than the life that is within your own home? So many people want to save the world, do all these amazing things, and then they neglect the very gift that God gave them within their home. They neglect the gift, the heritage that God has given them. Psalm 127, children are a heritage from the Lord. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Blessed, we are blessed when we have children, which means it's good to have children, which means why put off having children if God says children are a blessing? There's a little line in Psalm 113 that I just absolutely love, but it just sneaks in there. And I think it's so powerful to show that the home and being a mom is a huge blessing. Praise the Lord. Psalm 113. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. God has given the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Children are a blessing. And you have to see that that's why there is so much brokenness in our world today, is because women have outsourced the greatest calling of being a mother to everyone else to take care of their children. They have outsourced raising their children by putting them in preschool, by putting them in nurseries, by putting them in summer camps, putting them in school, putting them in after school programs, having babysitters, nannies, whatever it takes for someone else to watch their kids. They have forsaken the very gift that God has given them to go pursue money and pay taxes. Because that's always the reason. Why are you not home with your children? Because you're prioritizing money over your children. Obviously, there are circumstances where sometimes women have to work for a season. There are exceptions, but I would say most of the time, women are choosing to not be home. It's not a result of circumstances. If it is a result of circumstances, you will know it and you will agree with what I'm saying that most women should be home. The next line in Titus 2 is to have self-control or to be discreet. Learning how to say no to ourselves or learning to put limits on ourselves. In our first world convenience-driven culture, that is something that we are not encouraged to do, and it's actually extremely countercultural to put limits on ourselves, to realize that we are actually limited beings because our popular culture wants us to think that we are unlimited beings. We can do whatever we want, wherever we want, with no consequences. We get mad when our packages don't arrive on time. We don't know how to say no to things, that there are limits that we need to put on ourselves. I will do a video on the joy of setting limits on ourselves and the reward that that brings, because when we live a life without limits, there are consequences. And then the next one is to be pure and chaste. And that's obviously extremely countercultural, to the point where chaste is not even a common word in our vocabulary today at all. And it actually makes people uncomfortable. Even in Christian circles, it makes people uncomfortable to talk about purity. And you have this, I don't know, clickbait word like toxic purity or purity culture and the damage that it's done. Whereas I think not talking about purity has caused more damage than whatever they want to call as toxic purity or purity culture problems. And the reason I know that is because if we do not give an example for young people that it can be done, it is possible to wait until marriage, how are they supposed to know it can be done? Because unfortunately, in many churches today, nobody wants to hurt anyone's feelings. It's a really hard topic to speak on because a lot of people have made mistakes. And so you never want to hurt anyone's feelings or rub salt in a wound. And so the focus is always that God can redeem everything. And it's true. At the same time, that's still not God's best. It's still God's design for us to wait until marriage. That's the way God designed us. That's the way God made us, is for sex to be reserved for marriage alone. And you have Christian circles where the only example that is given is redemption. Scott and I were in a youth group that we helped volunteer at for over a year, and the leaders asked nearly every other leader in the group to share. And nearly every other leader in the group, I think probably every single one that did share, shared on living a promiscuous lifestyle and how God redeemed them. Scott and I never got asked to share. I don't know the reason why that we never got asked to share, but we never did. But I can only imagine it's because they did not want to make anyone uncomfortable or hurt anyone's feelings that may have already lost their purity. But from mine and Scott's own testimony, the reason that we were able to save ourselves for marriage was because we had heard someone else's testimony. And the power of testimony, I think it's the Hebrew meaning of it, is do it again. Hearing someone's testimony, it's having the faith of, wait a second, God did that for them. That means he can do that for me. And that was the case for me, and that was the case for my husband. And I'm going to do a whole video on this topic because I think it's taboo in a lot of circles, but I think it can be talked about in a way that is so honoring to God. And God's design for this area, it is mind-blowing how good he designed us. And so I'm going to do a video specific on this topic. And my hopes is that if you're a parent, that this will be a really cool way for you to talk about these topics with your children. But also, I've only ever heard this topic talked about in this specific way by one person in my whole life. Same with Scott. And it just blessed me so much. So I'll be sharing more about the topic of purity and being chaste in another video. So stay tuned for that. But obviously, that is an area that the enemy hates and wants to destroy. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we can look at all of these things from Titus 2 and see that this is what's happening in our modern culture. So then the next one is kind. And I think the word kind or kindness or being kind has lost its power in our modern culture. Everyone wants to be like, use the word be kind in a way of just be nice. But I think that the kindest thing that you could ever do is tell the truth. I'm reminded of one time I was listening to this podcast. This was years ago. It was a Christian couple and they were interviewing or talking to this single woman in her mid to late 30s. And this single woman confessed to them that she is so worried about her fertility timeline because she wants to have children, but she's not even in a relationship, and how this stresses her out. And the interviewer or the podcast wife woman said to her, I mean, my mind was blown. She said to her, yeah, the fertility timeline, that's just a myth. And I'm like, that is the most unkind thing you can ever do, is lie. You just lied to this woman. Because the fertility timeline is real. As uncomfortable as that makes people, and as hard of a thing that that is to talk about, it's not fun to talk about. Again, I'm in this category, so it's not fun to talk about, but it's the most honest thing you can do. Because when the time passes, it's done. And you never want to be the person that someone's like, why didn't anyone tell me? Why did not anyone tell me this? Be the kind person. Do the hard thing and tell people the truth, even if it makes you uncomfortable, even if it makes them uncomfortable. And that's why, as hard as these videos are for me, I feel the weight of sharing these type of things. Sometimes it's not easy saying things because you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings and you don't want to make anyone feel bad about themselves. But at the same time, God's ways are always better than the world's ways, and you can change your path. It's not too late to change your path, but how are you supposed to know that there's another way if no one tells you that there is a better way? And there's a lot of people who are really unhappy with their life. They have a sunken cost. And instead of being honest about the mistakes that they've made in their life, they double down on them, and they'd rather people make those same exact mistakes than have humility and say, you know what, if I were to do it differently, this is what I would have done. And using the story to help someone else create an even better life. That's my hope with us with children. I say the things that I say about having children because I don't want anyone to experience what we have experienced. That's why I say things like, get married young, don't delay having children, because you will never get this time back. Your time of having children is so precious that you do not want to waste them going to university and building a career, and then all of a sudden in your late 30s, all of a sudden you're like, wow, it'd be really nice to be a mom. It'd be really nice to be a grandma someday. And then you're dealing with realities of things that you don't know if they're gonna happen. Or even down to the simplest little things, like how cool would it be to be a young grandma? That's cool. But you know who doesn't think about being a young grandma? 20-year-olds, because that's the last thing on their mind. These are things that you don't quite think about when you're young. And that is the importance of Titus 2. That, I believe, is why Paul says older women teach the younger women these things, because these are not the things that younger women are thinking about. So we have to have older women that are willing to tell the truth and speak to the younger women about these things. When you're young, you think, you're always gonna be young. You think, I have so much time to get married. I have so much time to have children. I will be a homemaker someday. And then the years tick by and tick by, and maybe things don't happen as you thought they would. Or maybe they do. Praise God, hopefully they do. But in those cases, you've prepared your whole life to be anything and everything but be a wife and a mom and a keeper of the home. And then you get into this role and you have no clue what you're doing. And you feel ill-prepared for the work in front of you because you are ill-prepared. And then you end up thinking, well, maybe this isn't the work that's cut out for me. Maybe I'm not supposed to be home with my children. This is not, I don't know what I'm doing. At my work, at my job, I was competent. I actually knew what I was doing. I'm going to go back to that. I think of the picture of the Israelites with Moses and them being so upset and grumbling and saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? We want to go back into slavery. It was better back then. I think that that's so often the case with so many women who quit their jobs to be home with their children. They feel this gut instinct to come home and be with their children. And then all of a sudden it's very hard for them. And so the first thing that they go back to is, it was better for me to be at my job. But have you ever thought maybe it wasn't better, but you just haven't been taught. You were thrown into the deep end, learning how to be a wife, a mother, and a homemaker all at once. I don't think that's how it was ever meant to be. I think the better way is to learn the art of homemaking while you're young. Then you can get married instead of working outside of the home. You can work inside of the home, build your home economy, learn systems, learn skills, bring children into the home, and you'll already have this momentum of building your home, and then you'll have the momentum of learning how to raise your children. And you're not all of a sudden learning everything at once and feeling so overwhelmed. This is the natural way of things, not going and doing whatever boys are doing. And then all of a sudden you get married, you're not a man, you're a woman. And doing the work of a woman is different from the work of a man. But you've been acting like a man and doing the work and the roles of a man your whole life, your whole adult life. And so you have no idea what it means to be a woman. You have no idea what it means to be a wife, a mom, a homemaker, because all you've been preparing for is a career doing work outside of the home. And this is the problem with androgyny in our culture. And that is another video. I'm going to do a whole topic on androgyny specifically and how it has infected so many areas of our life, especially in Christian circles, where there's no difference between men and women. We can treat them all as the same. And then the final teaching in Titus 2 is submitting to your own husband. And submission, of course, is very countercultural. I did a video last summer on submission. I will link that video below. I will do more videos on this topic as well. But then the final line right after it says, submit to their own husbands. I think this line is key, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So older women, teach the younger women these things, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do we feel the weight of that? That the word of God be not blasphemed. If we're not teaching the younger women to do these things, and if we are not doing these things, then the word of God is being blasphemed. And then I want to read the rest of Titus 2. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in our present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Isn't that so powerful? And what comes to my mind? What did the serpent say to Eve at the very beginning? Did God really say? And how much do you think that that is said to women today about these things? Did God really say to be home? Did God really say you're supposed to be a helper to your husband? Did God really say submission is his ways? Did God really say children are a blessing? Those are the little subtle lies that the enemy says to us. And nothing's new. His tactics aren't new. That's still the lies that we hear today as women. But will you take God at his word? We once heard a preacher, Chris Blackaby, say, God's love language is taking him at his word. Faith is what is pleasing to God. That is how I'm going to end this video. Will we take God at his word? Do we believe what God said, that His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and that Titus 2, what Paul wrote, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us direction very practically in our everyday lives? And yes, this worked out is going to look unique to everyone, but This is the biblical foundation, the biblical principles. And if you are straying from any of these things that are talked about in Titus 2, then we are straying from the Word of God. So I hope that this video has blessed you. I hope it makes you excited. What a time to be alive, that we can live counterculturally and be a positive vision for younger people, that we can say, if God did this for us, He can do it for you. More videos will be coming out on this topic, and I pray that they're a blessing to you. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.